A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is an Extra 106.3 podcast. To hear more live and local content like this, tune into 106.3 FM or download the Extra 106.3 app.
I'm excited for my guest coming up. She is the GOP chair in the 1st District, one of my favorite places in the world down there by Savannah, and has some good friends there as well. And she is always a blast to talk to because she's going to tell you the truth. She's somebody we need in our, or on our side, I should say. She is Candace Taylor, ran for governor. I was hoping she'd win. She had my vote just because I really liked her yard signs. Candace, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you? It's good to hear you're safe. I know you get swatted and attacked all the time by the left.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to hear.
Yeah, swatted, attacked, satanic Bibles, postcards, whatever they can do to me to try to get me to shut up, right? That's what they try to do. It's so good to be back. My voice is kind of whacked this morning. I've knocked 150 doors for my husband. He's running for probate judge, and I have just worn myself out.
Wow. You know what? You did this during your campaign. It was a great grassroots attempt. Everywhere I drove throughout Georgia, I'd see those wonderful Candace Taylor signs. And I was like, okay, this is somebody. This is the grassroots. This is Dr. Candace Taylor, number one, knows very much what kids are going through in schools and how crazy our schools have gotten with these progressives that have gotten into education and trying to indoctrinate our children all the time. Are you still seeing that in Savannah? I know Christy, your good friend, Christy Maud, she was sending me things about some of the drag shows that were going on in Savannah. Have you guys worked hard to shut down some of the things that the progressives are trying to do to indoctrinate our children there in Savannah?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm over 15 counties. Chatham is my largest. Glenn County, Brunswick is my next, the largest. We have two over 80,000 counties in the 1st District. And then we have 13 rural just small towns like where I'm from. And so, but yes, we have worked really hard to try to shut the drag shows down from inviting young children and trying to sexualize them. And, you know, I always go back to the Bible verse that talks about tying a millstone around your neck and being cast into a sea is what you should do instead of making one of these little ones fall and stumble. And so the Lord does not want you to ever take the innocence from children. And so it's our job to protect that innocence. And the reason why we have this whole movement to indoctrinate our children and to have our libraries full of transgenders and the transgender rainbow, not the rainbow that God created saying he would never flood the earth again. It's not that rainbow. It's a different rainbow that has different colors in it, and it is specifically to pride themselves and not knowing who they are and being confused and going down this demonic path of, you know, suicidal injury and to have suicidal thoughts and to end up killing themselves, because that's what happens to transgender people. They have this surgery and then 50% of them commit suicide. Not a tenth, dead. And so we have to stop this indoctrination of our children. We have pushed back on that majorly. We're seeing less of the furries. We're seeing less of the try to, you know, have the litter boxes in bathrooms. Some of that insanity is kind of subsiding because parents are getting involved and saying, heck no, this is not happening, will not happen on our watch, we will not tolerate it. And so we have seen a difference.
I'm glad that we're seeing a difference. You know, we did see a story the other day of a bunch of students who decided they were going to walk out of school because they're getting bit by some of these furries or people who identify as animals in their middle school, walking up, licking them, biting them. Now, the Mount Nebo Middle School is the school. It's not here in Georgia, thank goodness. But they say that they've already gotten over 1,800 students and families to sign that there should be no more furries in school. How is this happening that we're allowing schools? We had dress codes. We have things. What do we do to make sure that we keep this out of our schools? Do we just really put in uniforms again and make sure people, or would you rather people just put their kids in another school or homeschool?
You know, Scott, I think the answer is that we have zero tolerance for insane behavior. And so people that have an identity crisis and they don't know who they are, there's actually a DSM diagnosis for that. It's called identity disorder. And we, you know, we're pretending like it's a sexual preference. We're pretending like it's gay. It's not that. It's nothing to do with that. It's people who are truly sick. And they do not know who they are. And our foundation of who we are comes from the Bible. We were created in the image of God. We were created male and female, two genders. And so whenever you take immorality and you flood the school system with it, and you flood the news media with it, and you flood the government with it, it's a downfall of society. And that is the agenda of the globalists who want to take down America. America being the strongest nation of the world and being the leading everything, and people want to come here because it's the land of the free. That whole mentality is a jealous mentality from the world. They cannot take it. They cannot stand it. It's just like having a beautiful girl who stands out, and all the guys want to date her, and the other girls hate her, and they talk about her, and they say all things, and they call her a whore, and they say mean, vile things, even when she's not, even if she loves the Lord, and even if she's never even kissed a boy. They make up things because they're jealous. Same thing with America. People were so jealous. Other countries and other nations and other leaders are so jealous of America that their country is not like us, that they have thought to destroy us and our idiot government officials instead of saying, no, we are proud of America. We're going to protect capitalism. We're going to protect our freedom. We're a constitutional republic. We're going. They take backroom deals. They sell us out to China. Mm-hmm. They give everything away to pad their own selfish agenda and their own pocketbooks at our expense. And this has been going on for decades. And we did not have any idea. We were paying our taxes, working, doing our thing, raising our families, and we're free seemingly. And then all of a sudden, 2020 hits, and it's like, wait a minute, maybe our elections aren't secure. This is insane for a man with dementia who is a pedophile and took inappropriate showers with his daughter to be elected president of the free world. Are you kidding me? And so because, I mean, you gotta think, people still do not believe the election was stolen because they are so brainwashed and controlled into thinking our elections are secure. Because if our elections are not secure and there's a chance that there was rigged election, it totally takes out the security of our country being authentic. And people can't handle that. But there are so many people who know the truth, who've seen the data, who've seen the black and white evidence, who've pulled the tabulator, they've looked at everything, they know. And so you can't unsee it now. And we know that that's our fight. Our fight is to secure elections. That is the whole foundation of America. If we do not have fair legal elections and the people get to choose, and I don't mean just the Republicans, I mean the Democrats too. This is a nonpartisan issue. If we don't get to elect who we want to elect locally, state, and nationally, if we don't get to do that, we have no country.
We don't want to lose this country, and we're losing this republic almost every single day, Candace, and it infuriates me that people don't see it. And I love that you bring up the dementia-ridden old man in the office. It's embarrassing watching him walk around not knowing where he is or what he's doing. And that is so important because I don't believe that people will vote for this man or can vote for this man. Obviously, there's always the demented people that will continue to just go, hey, this is my candidate because he has got a D next to his name, and we'll go that route. Are you happy with what Brian Kemp did to help secure the elections? Or, I mean, there are a lot of things that I want to hit Brian Kemp about. The Rivian deal, there's a lot of things. Are you happy with the way that he's working towards making sure our elections are secure here in the state?
So Brian Kemp's done nothing for elections. Absolutely nothing. And I would love to go on a debate with him and take him to task on that. In fact, the Georgia legislators who actually, just a handful of them who cared about elections, they have gotten nothing done. So they can pass, like, let's try to get rid of the QR code. Okay, the Secretary of State wouldn't let you. The Secretary of State doesn't run this state. The legislators get to choose. Why are they negotiating with the Secretary of State? You tell Brad Raffensperger what he's going to do, and he does it. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. You do not play patty cake with him. And so we went through this whole session of, oh, well, we can't get rid of the QR codes. We don't have time. Okay, well, then we're getting rid of the machines altogether, and we're doing paper ballots.
Yeah.
We can do that.
I would love that.
And Brian Kemp did not push any of that. He has not said a word. You know, in fact, what lets me know he's complicit is the fact that his wife came out, Marta Kent, just about a week ago, and said that she would not be voting for Donald Trump. She would have to write her husband's name in. Yeah. Are you kidding me? We have a 15% inflation. People cannot feed their families in Georgia. People are filing bankruptcy. People cannot make their mortgage. People cannot pay their rent. I mean, it is a true struggle in this state. Now, you can pretend like we have all these new jobs, that you've sold us out to China, you've got all these EV plants. You can pretend all that, but the bottom line is down here in South Georgia, North Georgia, and Atlanta, we are struggling. The working class is struggling, and it is because you allowed a fraudulent pedophile in the White House on your watch. And now you have the audacity to say that you won't vote for Donald Trump because why? You don't like his personality? He sends a mean tweet? Give me a break.
I love it. Candace Taylor joining me here on The Morning Extra. I saw that article. I said the same thing. Number one, you know, look, there are some things that I do like about Brian Kemp. There's a lot of things that I really disagree with. Like I said, the Rivian thing and saying that it's not going to cost taxpayer money. Well, they already started with the DOT. They already started clearing the land. Who's paying for that? We are, of course. So that's been something that I've railed on from the beginning with him. And that's a real big problem to me. I do like the tax cuts. I do like some of the money being given back to teachers. There are certain things that I like that we've come up with here in the state of Georgia. But you're right. The problem here is we need to get local. And we need to make sure that we take care of our state first so that we can get up and take care of the old man in the White House now and replace him with somebody who led us down a really good path, which is Donald Trump. The fact that Brian Kemp came out and does endorse and says, hey, you know, of course, I'm going to vote for him. But his wife, Brian Kemp, could not be a VP. And as much as I like Brian Kemp in certain ways, he's boring. So boring. I don't think that translates to a national audience, and I don't think he can speak to a national audience by just saying, I'm here to take care of hardworking Americans.
He's one of the most hated governors in this country. The people who know the election was rigged, the people who are very, very terrified, they're going to try to do it again. Those people can't stand him. He pretends like people in Georgia love him so much. But I just know that when I had 60,000 volunteers and I received 40,000 votes for governor, I received less votes for governor than I did for U.S. Senate when I ran for 8 months. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. The math doesn't make sense. Every one of my votes, you can take Brian Kemp's total and multiply it by 0.05, and it's my number to the digit. The whole night of the election, these numbers and the election and the lack of transparency and these touchscreen machines, we're the only state to use them. I can go on and on. And I don't care about 2022, honestly. What I care about is 2024 and that we do not lose our nation. And this is the most important election of our lifetime, period. And if we do not get Donald Trump back in office, we will never have America, even a resemblance of America, of what we had in 2016, 2020. We are going down a path of no return. And I hold Brian Kemp personally responsible for that because he could have secured these elections. He could have made sure that the right thing was done. And I don't know why all of a sudden he's got a vendetta against President Trump, but it ain't about him. And it ain't about President Trump. It's about the United States of America. It's about the state of Georgia being red, because we are. And it's about doing what's right. And back to immorality. When you have immorality creep in and all people care about it themselves and backroom deals and the destruction of our nation, they don't care about freedom of you and me. They don't care about that we may lose everything because all they can see is their pocketbook. And what the idiots don't understand is that the dollar falls, because we have so much debt, we have nothing. Yeah. America's done.
Yeah, it is scary. And every day, you know, I do pretty well. I don't do great, but I do pretty well. And I struggle every single day to pay for groceries and take care of my family. And that's really scary. One of our listeners, Rex Salling, said Kemp giving a small tax break when he could have given us Trump with a forensic audit. That's something that we've talked about many times, too. I mean, we need to make sure that we are in full support of bringing back reality to this country and bringing back a republic instead of what they've done to us. Candace, I do want to ask you about, we saw the bridge collapse in Baltimore. Savannah obviously is a big port and has really bailed out when, you know, during the pandemic and our supply chain problems, when Los Angeles was having a hard time and other ports around the country, they all came to Savannah. You guys are looking to deepen the ports there, make sure that we can get trips. Do you think that will become the number one port in the country and maybe even in the world right here in the state of Georgia?
I mean, it certainly could if it does. It was the agenda, right? I don't believe that bridge fell by mistake, and people can say it did all day long. There's just too much video evidence otherwise.
Yeah.
So if that was the agenda, you know, right now, Georgia being so important and the governor going to Davos and everything being poured into these EV plants that, you know, electric vehicles don't work. And even the woman who was, you know, this huge billionaire out in Texas that had her electric vehicle make her run into water. She couldn't break the glass and she drowned and died. And she was the on some foundational board owner company for the bridge people.
Yeah.
I mean, the ship, the carriers. I mean, it is crazy, these connections. And so EV plants in Georgia, she's killed by electric vehicle. I don't believe in coincidences. So, you know, they call me a conspiracy theorist. Okay. But everything that I've seen happen doesn't make sense. I'm going to ask questions. And we better start asking questions, because fake news media is what has brainwashed this society, along with government corruption and our schools being attacked with immorality. That is why, that is the plan. Those three things are the plan to destroy America, and they are in full swing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Here's one of my conspiracy theories, Candace, and tell me what you think. And you know, I'm going out on a ledge here, but when President Biden came to Georgia, he brought somebody with him other than Kamala Harris, and that was Wes Moore out of Baltimore, the obvious governor there in Maryland. And he's somebody who really does get a lot of interested black voters, and they love him, and he speaks well, and he's got a lot more respect than Kamala Harris. Then all of a sudden, after that, he goes back up to Baltimore. Then we have a bridge collapse where a ship turns 45 degrees after losing power, almost putting Wes Moore in the spotlight so that everybody sees who this man is. I think that you never know. This could have been an inside job. It could have been from China. We don't know who did it. But it was very ironic that all of a sudden there's a platform for Wes to stand up and hopefully, in their minds, help Biden recapture some of the black vote.
Right. A terrorist attack on our own soil by our own people in America. Like, make this make sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's a scary place that we're in. But whenever you have a man, and I cannot call him president because he didn't win, but Biden on TV 2 days ago saying that his uncle was eaten by cannibals after World War II.
Yeah.
And then the government comes out yesterday and says that didn't happen. That wasn't true. You're a liar.
Yeah.
We know you're a liar. You have a fictitious imagination that is running rampant. You don't make sense. You're smelling children like you want to eat them. Maybe he is into cannibalism. I don't know, because he sure enough likes to smell children. I don't know, but this is insanity. Yeah. It is complete insanity in this country right now. And you watch TV. Are you kidding me? I mean, if I was the news, I wouldn't even cover that, because it makes us look like the weak country that anybody can come in here and take over,
yeah,
which is what we're experiencing right now.
We sure are. Candace, thank you so much for joining me. We got to wrap up, but I got to ask you one thing. You talked about the flat earth and the globe thing. I know that you know that. You got so much for that. You want to clear that up real quick with everybody? Because I don't care. Listen, I laugh and I love it anyway.
Listen, it doesn't matter what I do. The media loves to harass me. We're talking about it in an interview I did last night. So, I believe the earth is round, but I do believe in creation, right?
Yes.
So I believe in the firmament. The Bible talks about the firmament and that we're protected, and the throne of God is above the firmament, which would be round. But I'm going to talk to people, and this whole flat earth movement, people get so mad about it. It is crazy to me. People divorce over one of the partners believing in flat earth. It is insane. Why? So it's got to be a spirit behind it. There's got to be something spiritually that just makes people lose their mind if you question the NASA, which I don't think NASA does a thing. I don't think that we're going to space. I just don't believe it. And I don't believe the moon landing looks real, and I don't know why we haven't been back again.
See?
Just because I said that does not mean I believe the Earth is flat, okay? You can question and ask, you know, what, it looks like tinfoil, and it looks like who took the picture, and there's all these questions I have. Why are we not supporting free thought?
Yeah, yeah. I'm the same way. I don't believe the moon landing happened. And if so, why have we not been back? Why is it taking such a long time for us to do it? NASA's a joke. I wish they'd, you know, go ahead and let Elon Musk just take over that, put it back to private industry. The government needs to get out of all of this.
So, Scott, I do want to say one thing before I get off.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, we have the governor race that we'll look toward after November. We'll start looking that way. And all I'm hearing is every one of these guys who are establishment politicians that want to run. So you got Burt Jones.
Yep.
Yes, he's an establishment politician. He's a billionaire. He does not understand what it's like to be us, okay? So you got Burt Jones. You got Brad Raffensperger. You got Chris Carr. And then there's some other senators and all white males, all wanting to run. And I'm like, where is the patriot? Where is the normal guy who just wants to save Georgia, like President Trump wants to save America? Where is he? And so
in Savannah, and it's a she.
Right.
It's a she,
right.
Candace. Let's go.
Right.
Do it again.
No. The Lord he'd have to tell me to do it again. I'm not in that.
Okay.
He's not told me to do it again. But I will say that it is so funny. People are like, "What do you think?" I'm like, "I think they're all the same. I think that they're all the same. Give me somebody who's not like them, and we'll talk." So this race, everybody's worried. They're all getting their money. They're already fundraising. They're talking about Marty running because, you know, Kent wants to keep control because he thinks it's a monarchy, and that's a joke. But it is so crazy to me that the same thing over and over and over, and I think we're just going to say, sure, we'll get behind one of you guys, and you've done nothing for Georgia except, you know, turn us into a CCP state, but we'll get behind one of you. We'll just take our pick.
Yep.
I want somebody to step up for governor who's passionate about agriculture, who's passionate about saving this state from liberalism. Let's get that person that's going to represent the people, and somebody step up.
Thank you, Candace, so much. Love you. God bless
you.
We'll speak to you soon, okay? We got to do something on YouTube together too soon. So I'll get in touch with you then. Have a great day.
Bless you, Scott. Thank you. Bye.
That was Candace Taylor. She's always fun to have. It's always great to talk to her, and she is passionate.
This is an Extra 106.3 podcast. To hear more live and local content like this, tune into 106.3 FM or download the Extra 106.3 app.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a Mad Men's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.